Bungay by H.G. Wells, dramatised in three parts by Nigel Gearing. Part 1.
You flea-bitten villain, you! You vermin! You venomous viper! Stand and fight, I say, or with this trusty steel I shall split you from stem to stern. Was ever a buccaneer who sailed the high seas and refused to defend the virtue of a fair lady? No, sir. Have at you. Take this and this and this.
Is that your boy out there, Mary?
Ma'am?
Under the cedar tree, waving the wooden sword?
It is, ma'am.
The evenings are drawing out nicely, don't you think?
Yes, ma'am. Shall we be clearing away the rest of the tea things?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. And how old would he be now?
My George? 14 last month, ma'am.
So this, then, is...
His summer holiday.
Is it really summer already? Well, well. So last time...
His last summer holiday.
You don't say. And the boy's father? Rose!
Anything else, ma'am?
Thank you. That will be all, Mary.
Have at you, I say, and going all such horrible abominations.
Rose, you'll be about your business.
Yes, Mrs. Ponderevo. Thank you, Mrs. Ponderevo.
All's well upstairs, Mrs. B.
All's perfectly well, thank you, Mr. Abbott. But these girls they employ nowadays...
Oh, indeed, indeed.
I believe we have guests today, do we not?
We do. Oh, and unless I'm very much mistaken... Hello, me ladies.
Oh, Mr. Rabbit.
Always the gentleman, quite like my poor late Sir Roderick.
Good day to you, Mrs. Ponderevo.
Mrs. Mackridge, Miss Bison.
What are we waiting for? Tea's almost brewed.
Oh,
sit you down, ladies, sit you down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I think you'll find, Miss Fison, as peers of England go in before peers of the United Kingdom at large. And Lord Tweedsdale, him what he's gone to Canada, nice pleasant young fellow as he is, well, he's merely a peer of the United Kingdom at large.
Is that so?
Oh, look it up in the old peerage, Miss Fison, if you don't believe me.
I do believe.
A little more cake, Mrs. Mackridge?
Oh, indeed. I don't mind if I do, Mrs. Ponderevo.
And yourself, Miss Fison. You'll permit yourself just a little bit more.
Mr. Rabbit, you're wicked.
Oh, come now.
Don't I always say, Mrs. M, I do believe Mr. Rabbit is almost as wicked as my poor late Sir Roderick's young cousin.
Oh, oh, surely not.
You don't mean him has got into trouble at Sydney when he was appointed governor.
I do.
How so?
Now, Isfuss was quoting poetry at her, ma'am.
Oh, indeed.
Was it he said at some posh do or other in Sydney? Yes, that's right. He said... Your forefathers left their country for their country's good. Well, tactless, weren't it? Reminded them of their originally being convicts.
And that boy of yours, Mrs. Ponderevo...
George?
Wasn't that him as we saw coming up the drive?
Indeed you did.
Head still always in those books of his?
Such as I can afford to buy him, yes.
He must be a comfort to you, Mrs. P.
He is.
And an anxiety too.
That too sometimes. That too?
Why, Mrs. Mackridge, you've let us leave that cup of yours empty. Oh. One lump or two?
Two. Although...
Mrs. M?
They do say as how many of the best people do not take it now at all.
Not with their tea, ma'am?
Not with anything, Mr. Rabbits.
Hark! There be intruders come to this our fair desert isle. Hide you now. You're in the thicket.
I say, what was that?
What was what? Oh, come along, silly.
Don't call me silly. I tell you, I heard something.
Beatrice! Archibald! Come along! You'll be late for your tea as it is!
Saved again.
George.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hall.
I thought it were a poacher for a moment. What are you up to, then? Watching the knobs as they pass?
That's right.
Take my advice. Let 'em pass.
Good day, sweet ladies.
Mr. Rabbit, quiet down, my poor Sir Roderick. Oh, such a god. Rabbits?
Oh, Beatrice. You gave me quite a start. Now, what would you be doing in this part of the house?
I want to read in the library.
Yeah, then your word is my command, your ladyship. This way.
That's it. Miss Beatrice. La Belle Dame Sans Merci. I met a lady in the meads, full beautiful a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild.
Here we are. Honey, I could have sworn as I locked this door.
Why, you little scallywag!
George? Is this true?
He can't deny it, Mrs. P. Tain't the first time, neither.
Well?
Bold as brass he were.
I was only reading.
Fair gave the little Lady Beatrice a fright and all. I was just unlocking it for her and...
Thank you, Mr. Rabbit. I'll deal with this. George, how many times do I have to tell you? There's upstairs and there's downstairs, and never the twain shall meet.
The books, Mother. It was only the books.
George, never forget. Her ladyship's been kindness herself to us. Where would we be without her generosity and goodness? Well, what have you got to say for yourself? There's only one thing for it. You will go and you will apologise to Lady Drew in person. George, you're a trial to me.
Oh, that he is.
Got the devil in you.
Oh, that he has.
Now I know where it's coming from.
Not from you,
from his father, that's where. His father was just the same, never satisfied with his lot.
Oh, is that why he ran away to Australia and was never heard of again?
I'll be smitten by God.
You little bounder.
Repeat that, young man. Repeat what you just said.
Please excuse the intrusion, Mr. Rabbit. It's about the boy, Mrs. Ponderevo. Your boy.
He'll be making his apologies, Miss Somerville, as will I. You can be sure of that.
No, it seems... Well, it seems the young Lady Beatrice would like...
Yes, Miss Somerville?
Well, she'd like to borrow him.
Borrow him?
That is correct. For tea? Well, George?
Yes, ma'am?
Would you like some more cake?
Thank you, ma'am. I have some already.
Somerville, why does that boy suck so when he drinks his tea?
Shh. Eat up your sandwich.
And what is he exactly?
Why, that's Master Ponderevo.
Is he a servant?
He's a schoolboy.
Then may I talk to him?
Well, just as long as you don't talk too much. Here, let me cut you some cake.
Hello, schoolboy.
Hello.
Somerville, I've got a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that? That boy with the dirty hands and the frayed his
collar.
He's much more interesting than Archie. He's even more interesting than Rabbit.
Well,
I think I want him, Somerville.
Beatrice?
I think I want him for myself. All the rest of the holiday.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Ask B.
I say he can. Look, Archie, it's simple. Georgie and I, we go and hide. You come and see. Got it?
But
this way, George. Follow me. Here we are. If we just stand on this wall... Here, it's like you could fling yourself off and soar down the wind. You could see right over Westwood, right past Bluebellwood, and all the way down to the sea. Well, won't you come up and join me?
Listen, that Archie...
What about him?
Well, is he your sweetheart?
Archie? Whatever do you mean?
Do you love him eternally and truthfully till death shall tear you asunder?
He's my brother, silly. Well, my half-brother.
How can you have half a brother?
Besides, I don't love Archie. I love you. Swear to me you'll never be a servant ever.
I swear it. Till the day I die, I'll never be a servant.
So, what will you be? Will you be a soldier?
Be brought up by duffers, no fear. I'd rather go into the Navy.
But wouldn't you like to fight in battle hand to hand?
Of course. But it's no honour to be told to be looked down upon by some rotten officers while you do it.
Then why not become an officer yourself?
Fair chance.
Well, couldn't you? Georgie, why ever not?
Because I'm a poor man, and poor men can't become officers. They go into the Navy, especially if they know all sorts of mathematics like me.
Do you?
I do. You wait. I'll be another Nelson. He loved Lady Hamilton, although she was a lady. And I will love you, B, I swear.
Beatrice! George!
It's Archie.
Snifty beast. Ignore him.
But...
Beatrice!
Come here.
Why?
Come here, I say. You vow to be my humble, faithful lover till death shall tear us asunder.
I vow to be your humble, faithful lover till death shall tear us asunder. Careful!
Then this is for you.
Blimey.
Beatrice!
This way.
Georgie!
Quick! See, under the ferns.
The what?
The ferns. Don't you know anything? You can crawl through here and no one will spot you. It's like a whole forest in miniature.
Silly. You can't have a forest in miniature. Well, can you?
Follow me. Can't you smell it? It's beautiful.
Georgie, it's awfully dark and quiet.
Yes.
I'm scared, George. Can I put my arms around you?
Yes, but...
Don't you like it when I put my arms around you?
I do, but...
And don't you like it when I kiss you like this?
I...
And like this. And like this.
Yes.
And like this.
Yes, in fact. Here.
And now you catch me.
Well, George, you certainly seem to have made an impression on Lady Beatrice. And young Master Garville. Seems they've asked you to play with them next Sunday, too.
Sunday, Mother? Well, on Sundays, don't we always go to...
We do. But next Sunday, Lady Drew pays her annual visit to the Vicarage of Roke Dean. Don't you remember last summer? The people of the village, they're always so grateful. So I'm asking you to be very, very good while I'm away. Do you promise, George?
A tribe of Indians?
Right, I'm the Spanish nobleman.
I'm the Spanish nobleman's wife.
And you? Well, like we said, you're this whole tribe of Indians. Spanish Indians.
But we can't have that.
Why not?
Yes, why not? We've built you a wigwam, haven't we? You can stay in it as long as you like.
We ran away and will you come and find us?
Eventually.
And your prize, your booty, is to carry her off. Carry off B.
Well, if you're lucky. If you find me.
But this won't do at all.
Why not?
Well, for a start, he can't be a nobleman.
I don't see why not.
And you his wife?
What are you saying?
Well, it's not on, is it? It's as simple as that. It would be impertinent. He can't even read Latin. and he drops his H's like anything.
What does that matter?
Yes, you heard. What does it matter?
There you are. Erd, erd, erd.
Well, if that's how you feel, here's my hand and you can have it on your head.
Why, you...
Don't call me names, you stuck-up bugger.
Go on, George. Well, that's right, aren't we? Oh, come on, George.
Hey, you're not allowed to fight like that.
Who says a scrub is a scrub, ain't it?
It's not the Queen's rule.
Go hang the Queen's rules. Take that.
Oh, hey, not so fast.
Come on, Archie. Give it to him, Georgie.
Well, had enough, have you?
Gosh, there's someone coming.
Say it.
Georgie.
Say, I've had enough.
Archie.
Have.
Georgie.
Have.
Oh, hello, Mummy. Miss Somerville?
Fighting? Surely there's not been fighting. Archibald? Beatrice?
It's all his fault, Mummy.
Heavens above. It's the Ponderevo boy, isn't it?
It is.
How dare you, young man?
He cheated me, so I clouted him, that's all.
How dare you?
He broke the rules.
What rules?
He didn't fight fair.
Archie.
We were just waiting here in the warren to welcome you home, won't we be? Then he came up and started hitting me. And then...
Beatrice? Can this be true? You at least should know better. Well, Beatrice? Have you nothing to say? Nothing at all?
No, Mummy. It was as Archie said.
George, have you no conception of what a wicked, ungrateful boy you've turned out to be?
It wasn't true what he said. It was a fair fight.
The disgrace of it. Did you never think of me, your mother? Fortunately, in that respect, Lady Drew has been, as ever, generosity and goodness itself. As for yourself, if you were prepared to admit you behaved badly, if you were prepared to go up to young Master Garvel and beg his pardon...
I won't beg his pardon, Noel.
Then you leave me no choice. You must go off to your Uncle Frapp at Chatham. He might not be much to look at, but he's a good, hard-working man, a baker...
I don't care where I have to go or what I have to do. I won't beg your pardon from that Archie...
Then so be it. Oh, George, continue like this and what will become of you?
Now kneel in prayer. O Lord, we kneel before you as
on
miserable
knees, George,
sinners. Come to beg forgiveness for our sins and transgressions. Come to seek in the arms of you, our Lord, refuge from the devil and his manifold works.
George, you'll be sharing your bed with your cousins Jeremiah and Joshua. Right, Jeremiah?
Right, Father.
Right, Joshua?
Right, Father.
And we rise at 5.
5 o'clock?
Anyone tells you there's no point at rising at dawn, and I'll tell them they're fa-la-las. That's what they are. We bakers, we're happy to make the bread we break in the name of the Lord. Aren't we, wifey?
We are, for all our problems.
Let your Aunt Betsy be an example to you, young George. The suffering this woman has known.
One day you'll see it, young George. God has sent us many children, has he not, Nicodemus?
He has.
And most of them he's taken back.
That too.
Yes. God in his wisdom has made us, your uncle and me, suffer twice over. The having and the losing, the coming and the going.
We was born to suffer, wifey. But it's God's will.
That we was, and that it is.
So, my lad, off to bed with you. And don't forget to say your prayers.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy...
You're keeping quiet, cousin. Won't you join us in our prayer?
Will I...
Hell and eternal punishment wait you else.
Our God is a vengeful God, says Father.
He does. Well, cousin, we're waiting.
I think I'll just listen.
God, our Father...
Hold up. George, you don't say your prayers and it's the eternal bonfire for you it is.
Eternal punishment. Hell.
Says who?
What was that? What did you say?
Who said there was hell and eternal punishment? No God worth his salt would be such a fool as that.
You mean... You're not to listen to this, Joshua. Cover your ears. You mean you're saying there is no God? 'Cause remember, if there's no God... Why, you might do just as you like.
Well, if you're swine enough, I suppose.
That what you're saying?
If you like.
I've never heard such a thing. Brother, we must go down on our knees and pray for the soul of this sinner, this blasphemer. Brother!
Oh, I'm still covering my ears, brother.
Then uncover them. Down on our knees, I say. Forgive him, O Lord, for he knows not what he says. He is nothing. He is a
Listen.
Witch.
Pray as much as you like, but if it's all an excuse just to cheat me, there I draw the line.
Oh, infidel.
Is this possible? George!
That's the way it were, Father. He hit me for telling you about his blasphemies, and I turned the other cheek.
Oh, he's got the evil one riding on his back now, and no mistake.
Come here, George.
Let go of my ear, please.
See that? Hey? What's that? Tent of Balm of Gilead, I'm thinking. Tent of gourds that give shade and water in a thirsty land. No. What is it?
It's the bakehouse fire.
It's the fire's a damnation. That's what it is. Hellfire. Tell me this.
Lick on my ear.
Suppose you was took sudden in your sleep, eh? Where'd you be then? That's where you'd be, in there amid all them flames. You want to wake up in there, young George? Burning and screaming forever? That's where you'll be if you don't repent your wicked, wicked ways. And there's only one way to repent. Repeat after me. Joshua, Jeremiah, you two. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us our foolish ways. Forgive us our... I don't hear you, George.
Lick on my ear. This God of yours.
Yours, mine, all our God.
Well, if he does exist, well, I'm sure you don't square him like that. If God's that kind of coward, damn me here. Damn me here and now.
Oh, Nicodemus.
Just you wait till our chapel hears this. Oh, Lord, come among us is a sinner of tender age. Come among us is a blasphemer, O Lord, in the shape of a mere boy. Help us, O Lord, to go down on our knees.
On your knees, George, this instant.
So we may wrestle for the soul of this sinner in our midst. So we may wrest him from the sweaty hands of the devil.
No!
George!
Oh, no, stop him, Nicodemus. Stop him.
Stop him, someone. Stop that boy!
Excuse me.
Yes? What do you want?
Is this the way to Bladesover?
Bladesover, you say? Oh, that it is. But you've a ways to go yet, young fella. Where you come from, then?
Chatham.
Chatham? Yeah. You done all that way this morning? You must be keen. Would it be family you're visiting? I say, young fella...
Thank you.
Yes?
Hello, Mr. Rabbit.
George! What on earth are you doing here?
I want the truth, George. Have you run away?
I have.
And have you no explanation?
I won't go back, Mother. I'll drown myself first.
Well, don't speak like that. I forbid you to speak like that. Well, you can't stay here. That much is clear.
Mother?
Lady Drew considers you... I'm ashamed to say this, George, but then who can blame her? She considers you a bad influence on the other children. No, she has put her foot down.
Then?
The suffering you have brought me. I don't know what to do. There's only one last thing I can do.
Mother?
You should bring us both to this.
Wimblers! All alight here for Wimblers! No tickets, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me see. I understand your uncle's shop is in walking distance, George. This way. I have not seen your uncle, your other uncle, since he was, well, almost a boy. In those days, According to your father, he was supposed to be clever. About 3 years ago, I heard as he'd married and set himself up in business here in Wimblehurst. So I suppose she had some money. Ah, oh, I do believe this is it.
Yes, madam.
I think you're... person we're looking for.
Is that right? Well, I sincerely hope so. If you just care to step this way, madam, and you, young sir. Oh. Hmm? Huh? Yeah. And now...
I don't know where to begin.
Do we ever? Perhaps you was admiring my shop front. Tain't no ordinary common or garden Wimblehurst shop front. Oh, no, as I hope you'll agree, ma'am. But then I likes to think as I'm no ordinary common or garden Wimblehurst kind of chemist, neither. Now, pharmaceuticals, perhaps? A touch of the headaches, hot flushes... not perhaps disorders of a womanly kind. No, well, excuse me for even asking. Then, well, your husband, perhaps? I stock an extensive range of the apparatuses for the master of the household, trusses, and...
Please! The boy.
Oh, of course not. Begging your pardon, ma'am. Begging your pardon, young sir. I know. I know, you was taken by my little shop front display for Ponderevo's extraordinary cough linctus. Stock it up now, it's tuppence cheaper than in winter when you'll need it. That's it, why didn't I guess? I'll just pop through to the supply room and...
Do you really not recognise me at all, Edward? Huh? Teddy?
Oh, my oriental gums! Oh, 11,000 virgins! It's George's missus! Then this must be...
Quiet. Little George.
Oh, Susan! Susan, come down here, my angel! I tell you what, even better. Come through to the parlour and meet the lovely Susan for yourself. And you, young George, an especial delight to meet you. That's right. Oh, never mind the boxes and the mess. Yes, ignore that old contraption. One of my little schemes, but some other time. Susan, you there?
What's you up to now? What's the old excitement then?
Susan, it's sis-in-law Ponderevo.
Teddy?
George's wife. And she's brought little George, hasn't she, young fella? Oh, Susan told you about them 100 times.
Why, delighted, I'm sure. You're very welcome. Mm. Though, I confess, it's, well, it's a surprise. Crikey, it's not as if we've got anything to offer you, have we, Teddy? Oh. We're all out.
Unless, of course, him old there can cook something from his old chemicals.
No.
Which, believe you me, he's perfectly equal to doing.
Oh, Susan.
Very pleased to meet you, I'm sure. George, kiss your aunt. George!
Oh, now that's all right, George. Don't you be all worrying about that. If you don't like to kiss me, well, I can't say I like kissing strangers either. Aunt or no aunt. Now, just you all sit down where you's all comfortable.
Ooh, yes, now let's sit down.
Edward, Teddy, this isn't merely a social call.
No?
It's about the boy.
Oh, what you about then, eh, George?
There's things I need to discuss.
Teddy.
Well, discuss away, right, Susan?
So, perhaps if George here could...
I'm sorry.
Teddy.
Oh, right you are. George, why don't you come along with me and Mo? I've got a secret I want to share with you as pertaining to that sleepy old Wimblehurst out there. Now, tell me what you see.
Uncle?
Huh?
Well, there's this street, and there's a churchyard opposite, and, yeah, that old dog asleep in the road.
Oh, would you credit it, eh? How short of midday are we now? And here's Wimblehurst dead.
Uncle?
Well, ain't it sleepy? There's no jump about the place, George, no life. And, yes, as you say, look at Ruck the Butcher's old dog lying there slap in the middle of the road, its paws on its ears, and then flies buzzing about it. Why, if the last trump sounded, I don't believe that dog would wake, do you? Nobody hereabouts would wake. Well, them chaps over there in the churchyard, they just turn over and say, nah, tell us another one, you don't catch us like that. Here he comes. The man himself, today and every day, 12 o'clock and 7 o'clock, down the Eastry Arms, chin wagon in the billiard room with Mar Bell the grocer and Snape the barber. Good day, Ruck.
Hello there, Ponderevo. I see there's a fresh card up in the window. So it's Coughley Cuffs now, is it?
New season, new ideas, Ruck. I'm an innovator.
Oh, yes, so the cold insurance scheme?
Ruck.
You mean to tell me it didn't catch on? And I suppose before long, this too will be innovating into something else, will it, Mr. P, eh? Oh,
cold mutton fat.
Uncle?
Up to their arms in it, dead and stiff. Oh, no, George, between you and me, not my milieu, not my milieu at all. Hereabouts, they just trickle. I'm the cascading sort. Always was. Well... like your dad. And, oh, heaven knows I've tried all manner of things. Well, best of all, well, yes, that insurance scheme of mine against colds. Pay just a little each week, and then, the moment you can produce an authentic sniff... but would they take to the idea hereabouts? No, they was blind to it.
And the secret, Uncle...
John? Oh! Pleased you reminded me, young fella. Very pleased indeed. You see over there? Well, there, beyond Allstroth, there's a pair of stocks. Supposed to be medieval, like... from the time of the knights and peasants? Now, the secret is them stocks. They're made for no human being this side of Timbuktu. You could put a whole elephant in them stocks, George, and he'd still be up and trumpeting within the hour. Well, go and see. Go and see if what I'm saying ain't so. And just you come back whenever you's bored, all right? Great possibilities for a young man.
Oh, shh.
You've been behaving yourself, George?
Yes, Mother.
Of course the old lad.
Now, George, listen here. Your mother, your Aunt Susan and me, we've been talking of turning you into a chemist.
That's crikey.
George, I had hoped once that Lady Drew might do something for you. Spoken to someone or got you into some position. But then it seems, I'm sorry to say this of you, George, it seems you're not the sort of boy things are done for. You don't accommodate yourself.
Oh, a bit independent, you might say.
Disobedient.
Now, you tell me, George, have you learned any Latin at any time?
Me? Learn Latin?
Mm.
But he has not. I think you'll find the Queen's English is good enough for most of us.
What do you say, Aunt Susan? He'll have to learn a little Latin to qualify. Materia medica and all.
Mm. Oh, Teddy! There's that old fella be what sit down at the grammar school here. He knows Latin.
She means the grammar school down the road what's just been rooted into existence again by the charity commissioners.
George could have lessons there.
What do you say? What,
me learn Latin? Do you really mean it?
Well, if you have to learn Latin, you have to, and that's that.
Just a little.
But I've always wanted to. Latin.
Oh.
George.
Oh, you hear him, old Susan? Why, he's just like his father. Well.
That he is. Oh, dear me. That he is.
George, your aunt and uncle have been generosity itself. You're to behave. You hear?
Yes, Mother.
There's a little trust fund in your name I've been able to give them. Not much, just a few £100s. But you must learn. And above all, you mustn't set yourself up against those who are above you and better than you. Understood?
Yes, Mother.
Stand back now.
Oh. George.
Mother.
Kiss me.
My Mother, you're crying.
Be good, George. Mm. Yeah. Be good. In memory of your mother.
So, P equals constant times 1 over volume, which is to say if the volume of a fixed mass of gas at constant temperature is inversely proportional to the pressure, then...
I urge you, Teddy Ponder, coming on with your Latin inscriptions on them bottles.
What?
Put a label round it, George. Old Angid, it's called.
And if the volume of a fixed mass of gas at constant pressure is directly proportional to the absolute temperature, which is to say P equals constant times T, where T is in degrees Kelvin.
Latin for imposter. Yes, a label and a stopper in the
top. You're a stopper, you say. It's you that want to stop our my angel.
Come try and give it me, right?
But that's not possible. Start again. If the volume of a fixed mass of gas...
Here it comes! Hey, big stopper! Right on those big lips on your...
You have to catch me first, hey! Hey!
Of course! Of course!
Oh, George.
Aunt?
We're still at your homework. We're almost ready to eat.
Oh, leave him be, Aunt Susan. Never happier than when he's at his books, right, George?
Right, Uncle.
Oh, sacramental wine. Well, who could that be? We closed an hour ago.
I'll go. Hmm? Uncle, I don't think you're in any fit state to receive customers. Indeed, I don't. Overexcited.
Now, Susan... by the way, George, mind lending me some of them squared papers of yours?
Oh, you mean the...
Yeah, that there for your calculus and variations exam.
Oh, graph paper.
That's the stuff. Hand me some of it, will you?
Of course. But why?
Ah, stock exchange. Meteorology. That's why. Crystallos.
Uncle?
A little theory. I'll explain it later, perhaps. Oh, George, your Aunt Susan and me, we's proud as punch at how you've tamed your studies these last few months. Proud as punch. Why, I bet you could teach old Ruck and them others down the high street a thing or two about gas and states of matter, as am I right?
From what you say, Uncle, sounds to me like old Ruck is no matter and all gas.
What? What's that you say? Why, Aunt Susan, listen to what our George just said. You say that again, George, for Aunt Susan, hmm?
Teddy.
Hmm?
George, weren't no customer. What's the postman?
Why, this, sir?
Special delivery paid for by Lady Drew, care of Blades Over House.
Aunt Susan?
Oh, George. This letter. Why, it's the saddest old thing. Your mother. Your poor mother.
And the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, yea, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Remind me, rabbits.
Yes, your ladyship.
Would that be her boy over there? Mrs. Ponderevo's boy?
Indeed, ma'am.
So that rather portly individual in the badly dyed trousers and that ridiculous silk hat...
The boy's uncle. Him as what looks after the boy nowadays, I believe.
Indeed, you don't say. Trifle inconsiderate, didn't you feel?
Ma'am?
Mrs. Ponderevo, to die on us suddenly like that, before we could even find a replacement.
Well, a fine spring morning for it all the same, ma'am.
Spring, you say? Is it really spring already? Well, well. All right, George. I'm just here. And your uncle's over yonder, all chatting to the vicar. You want to cry? Just you go ahead. Why, I didn't even notice. Nobody did.
George, busy with that homework, are you?
Well, Uncle, another exam next week.
I know, but come through to the shop, will you? Now, about that Mother Shipton sleeping syrup, you shelved it where I told you.
This morning, we've cleared our forward stock.
And the quinine?
Top shelf left, like you said. No, we're running low.
Oh, splendid, splendid. The more space, the better.
Eh?
Space ready and waiting for Tono Bungay.
Sorry?
Isaac, let's get some air.
Evening, Ruck.
Evening, Ponderevo. Cooking up your next brilliant scheme for us, are you?
Oh, my. Don't change to it. Anyone with a bit of buzz and sizzle, anyone prepared to say snap, they moved out years ago. As for them that's left, well, oh, look at the place. You can't happen to think, George, of something everybody wants and hasn't got. I mean, something you could turn out retail under a shilling, say.
Perhaps I should get back to my homework.
George, I've been thinking... Oh, I wish I'd been born American.
Uncle?
America, now there's a land where things hum. I mean, take their stock exchange, take Wall Street, take cornering.
What's that?
Well, imagine, for example, that quinine on the shelves there. Then imagine there's a tropical war breaks out, see? And on our shelves, we just happen to have all the quinine in the world. That's cornering. Well, I ask you, picture all the suffering babies yowling for it. What would them doctors do?
Well, They'd find it rather a nuisance, wouldn't they?
Nuisance, George? Nuisance? They've got to look out for themselves. By Jove, yes. They'll do you if they can, so you do them, right? Like brigands.
What?
You're up in the mountains, right? The Balkans, with all the quinine ever was. Well, soon as they snap, along comes some millionaire's pampered wife, gone ill with malaria.
I thought you said baby.
No, there's a squeeze. And no mistake, outside, in his motor car, some millionaire offering you for your quinine any price you'd care to mention. What would they make of that in Wimblehurst now? I tell you, nothing. Because they got no romance in their soul.
Romance?
Yes, indeed, the romance of commerce, George. Men made or done for in an hour. It struck me, I said, quinine. Could have well have said, mines and railways. Could have said, Union Pacific. George?
Uncle?
1 week the shares is up, next week they're down. Now, to the untutored eye, it looks like, well, hit and miss.
Well, isn't it hit and miss?
Oh, excuse me, George, your Aunt Susan and me, I've said it before, we're delighted the way you've come on in your studies, but this, it's a matter of experience. The trained eye, crest and hollows, buy on the hollow, sell on the crest. There's a system, scientific and verifiable.
Is that why you wanted the graph paper?
And that is not all. Listen.
I'm listening.
Tono Bungay.
What?
I'll try again. Tono Bungay.
That's what I thought you said.
Well,
what?
What is it? That's what you've got to ask. Then, what won't it be, eh?
All right. What is Tono Bungay?
I'm afraid I can say no more at present, George. Industrial secret, don't you know? But watch this place. I tell you, there's more to follow.
Oh, George. It was never anything grand, this shop of ours. But it was a larky little old home to your uncle and me. And our first. I think I'll just hop upstairs, powder the old nose.
Well, I believe that's all, Mr. Mantell. You'll find it a quiet little business, so long as you run it on quiet lines.
Right you are, Mr. P.
But any problems, if you need to know anything else, business, place or people, I'll always explain fully. You got the address of our new London residence. By the by, you might find you're just a little overstocked on Pill Antibill.
Mr. P?
Well, these last days, I found it soothed my mind making them amid all the upheaval, so I just carried on making them thousands.
I'm sure I'll manage. And you, George? Seems that you and your indentures are part of my stocks too now, eh? Well, I'll just out and take the air down the high street. Leave you to make your farewells and all.
Well, that's that, I do believe.
So it's lock, stock and barrel, Uncle?
It is. It is. Oh, your aunt's unhappy, of course. It's made her cry. Well, who wouldn't it? But, well, she's a first-rate brick, whatever comes along. Now, buoyant as ever. He's a corker. As these crises has tried character.
And my apprenticeship?
Oh, now, don't worry about that. Mr. Mantell says he's perfectly satisfied to transfer it to him. He's a good man, George. Oh, my, my. The battle of life, eh? Ups and downs. I could have sworn them Union Pacific calculations would come up trumps.
The crests and hollows, you mean?
Well,
Uncle,
You could have used my trust fund.
It was 100 to 1 that I was right. 100 to 1. I left out just one tiny factor in my analysis. I worked it out afterwards. And here we are. Spiked on the off chance. If only I'd have kept back a little. Just a little. Why, I'd have had it on UP next day like a shot and come out on the rise. Bob's your uncle.
Well, there's my trust fund. You could use that.
You know, the lesson I draw from this, never put all your resources onto the one chance. Have forces in reserve. Yeah. See, I've been pondering in my night watches since. It's a reproof for pride. At bottom, I'm a mystic in these things, I suppose. You calculate you're going to do this or that, but at bottom, who knows at all what he's doing? And when you most believe you're doing things your way, why? You're being led.
And my trust fund?
George?
Well, would it make any difference if you were to use that?
Oh. I did use it.
What?
Well, after all, I'm a particular luck. I am careful luck. I am. Do you think I'd have touched those Union Pacifics with a single penny of your trust money if I hadn't thought it a thoroughly good thing? And there's some of it left, George. Oh, a little.
How much?
Oh, never you worry about that, my boy. Soon as I've got time to sit down and figure it out on paper, I'll calculate just how much I owe you, and mark my words, I'll pay you back 20 shillings in the pound before I'm done. See if I won't. I'll be writing to you. Now, your Aunt Susan and I, well, we've got very comfortable little rooms up there in London. Not the scenery nor the air we get round here, perhaps, but very comfortable, considering. And my new situation, I got it within 24 hours. An important firm, one of the best. Yes, I looked to that. Others offered, of course. I might have got, say, 4 or 5 shillings a week more elsewhere, but I said to them plainly, your wages... there to be going on with. Opportunities, my game. Development. Yeah. I think we understood one another, George. It's just... damn them others.
Uncle?
Ruck the butcher, Marbell, the grocer, Snape, the barber, all those damn stick-in-the-mud-and-die slowly tradespeople hereabouts. How they'll grin. It's not quite the way your Aunt Susan and me meant to leave Wimblehurst, eh? Oh.
Well, here's old Orff. Orff to home number 2.
I can carry some of those.
Bless you, George. Oh, I'll miss you. But Mr. Mantell, he'll see you well. He's a good man. Kind. And I'm never wrong about people.
Need a hand, Mrs. Poggerevo?
I'll manage.
So, it's off to make your fortune elsewhere, then, is it, Poggerevo?
Pleasant day, Ruck.
Off to innovate up in London, eh?
You half-witted hog. My... that's a load, Aunt Susan. What have you got there? A whole needle workshop? So, kiss your Aunt George.
Of course. Stick to your old science and things, you hear? Them verifiables. Then write and tell me when they make you a professor. You promise?
And George, that there are other private matter between us.
You mean Tono Bungay?
Shh, not a word. No, the... money.
My trust fund.
I will be writing to you fully about that. Mark my words. Well, here we go.
Bye-bye, George.
Bye-bye, George.
Bye, Uncle.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
In Tono Bungay by H.G. Wells, George was played by Paul Keating, Uncle Teddy by James Lawrenson, Aunt Susan by Diane Bull, and Mrs. Ponderevo by Annie Tobin. Lady Drew was played by Pauline Yates, Beatrice by Una Beeson, Archie by Sam Crane, and Uncle Nicodemus by David Cann. Miss Fison was played by Jilly Mears, Mrs. Mackridge by Diana Payan, Rabbits by John Evitts, and Miss Somerville by Rachel Atkins. Jeremiah was played by David Thwaites, and Ruck by Colin Pinney. All other parts were played by the company, and Tono Bungay was dramatised by Nigel Gearing. The director was Claire Grove.